This morning, we are going to take a journey, hopefully, and we want to arrive at this table at the end of it. And the reason we don't have the lights on is because we're trying to get the atmosphere of the upper room, where Jesus had his last meal with his disciples before he suffered, before he was put on trial. And so this is the route we're going to take. So that's why we've turned the lights out. So please don't get scared or worried about anything. That is purely it. Before we start and embark on our journey, I have a short video I would like you to watch. So if I'm pressing the right button, we should be about to watch this.
The biggest thing for me is speaking into existence what I'm going to get done, and I no longer doubt whether or not I have everything it takes. My name is Rachel MacArthur. I'm a professional track and field athlete. The mental side of things is massive, especially in sports, and so naturally you'd want to say, I'm just motivated, but I don't think I genuinely am. That's where you kind of fall back on discipline. You kind of just have to go through the routine each day. I'm not going to not run because it's snowing, because it's difficult out. I feel really excited about how far I can go.
Being able to wake up every day and make progress in any aspect of my life is what really inspires me.
My goal this year, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could, you know, get a contract, win a title, make it to the trials. I want to run 3:59. I want to go under 4 minutes. Essentially, I just want to run faster than I've run before.
Okay. The idea of watching that is obviously we're doing spiritual disciplines. And the idea of watching that is to encourage us to change our lifestyles so that we can be much more open to the presence of God in our lives. So all the things we've looked at so far during this series, I'm hoping that that you will pick up on some of these things that work for you, and then we start to build it into a daily routine or a weekly or a monthly routine, whatever that may be, so that we are open. This woman, I don't know anything about her other than she wants to run 3:59. That is all I know about her. But we want to be inspired by the rhythm of a daily disciplines. And that's what we want. Athletes don't improve, they don't go any further unless they train, unless they are disciplined about what they do. Because otherwise, the end result is not achieved. So when it comes to our spiritual walk, the idea is that we get into a different rhythm, slow down, listen to God, seek Him, and allow Him to speak and change us. That's that over with. Right. So today, we're looking at serving. And as I said, we want to imagine we're in the upper room. So how do you view Jesus? How do you relate to Him? Has anybody ever played this game? Yeah. It's a silly question, really, isn't it? Because really and truly, I should be asking you, has anybody never played this game? Because I'm sure every one of us has since at some point in the past. This is probably to blame for more family arguments over times like Christmas and holidays. And you get to see who is who in your family or in your group of friends and who really shows no mercy. Now, do you remember these two squares on the board, chance and community chest? You know, depending on where you are on the board, you may have to pick one of those cards up, and there's lots of things that those cards do. All right, so I think you can win £10 from every player, it's your birthday, and things like, or you've won a beauty contest. You know, those sorts of things. But there was a particular card in the chance pile that you could win, you could pick up, you know, sometimes. And it was a particularly useful card. It was a get out of jail free card. You see, because playing this game, most people, I don't know what the stats are, whether there are any people that have ever played Monopoly and never had to go to jail. But pretty much everybody spends a term behind bars, yeah? Now, this card is what you need. Because if you have this, that means that you don't have to go through the rigmarole of trying to get out of jail some other way. And I believe the way it used to be was you, when it was your go and you were in jail, you had the opportunity to throw a double. So you had two dice and you had to throw a double to get out. You had three attempts at that. And if not, then you had to pay 50 quid to get out. Or if you had this, this was your ticket to freedom. Yeah? Do you look at Jesus like that? Do you look at him like that? Like he's, I've got him in my back pocket. And when I approach this table, all I need to do, check I've got it. That's it. Brilliant. Do you view him like that? Is that what the gospel means to us? You see, because there are other ways that we need to view Christ. Is he a role model? Is what he does, is that to change the way that we live? You see, if he is just that, then it doesn't matter what he teaches. It doesn't make any difference to me because all I have to do is produce this and say, I believe this about Jesus Christ. And that's all I've got to do. No change. No need to be taking any interest in spiritual disciplines, transformation, nothing like that. Not needed. Or do you see him as your role model? You see, we, when we come to Christ, we are supposed to follow. And we don't, we follow, if we follow, we're transformed. If we follow, we are changed from within because of his presence in our lives. See, if he says you've got to love your enemies, it doesn't matter. I've got this. I don't need to. I can carry on the same lifestyle I've always had. So, we're in the upper room. And just like us, the disciples are sat around looking at one another. There's one thing that we're not doing that we all know we should be doing. In fact, we're not even going to talk about it. Somebody has to wash everybody's feet. Now, don't worry. Don't worry. I haven't got a basin of water. I'm not going to produce a towel and wrap it around my waist. The thing is, they won't even talk about it. They're not even, they're ignoring it completely. And the reason is because they have a discussion. They have a discussion amongst themselves. And I'm not sure how the timing of all of these events in this upper room happened. And there are many things that took place in the upper room, and this is barely any of it. There is much deeper things that are being discussed and shared than this. But they have a debate over who of them, which one of them is the greatest. Can you believe what we do? Can you believe how we think? Which one is the greatest? You see, that's what we're really interested in. How good am I at this? How special am I to Christ? How special does he see me? Obviously, he's going to see me that I'm a little bit better than the person next to me because it's me. You see, they would want to find out where they are in a pecking order, which is the way the world does things. So we all categorize one another and put people into certain positions. You see, but the trouble is we don't, none of us want to be the least. And you see, the servant that washes the feet of everybody else is the least, is the lowest of the servants. And they don't want to be that person. So what happens? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's incredible, isn't it? You look at the beginning of this paragraph and the contrast between what it starts with and what he does. He has all power. God has given him all things, and it's in his power. He knows who he is, where he's come from, and where he is going. And the others are talking about who's the greatest in the room. And this is him. This is who he is. And then he gets down and washes everybody's feet. Now, we're talking about serving. You see, is he a role model? Is he a role model to me? Do I understand what he's doing here? He's putting himself in the lowest possible position. And yet, that's who he is. So when I come to this table, do I look at it in terms of, I've got my get out of jail card, I put it on the table, we do the usual sort of things that we talk about, or do I see it as this? This is an example of how to live. Do I look at it in a way that this is an example of how to die to self? Do I look at it as an example of this is how we should behave with one another? This is why when Christ says, if you have love for one another, people will be drawn to him. People will see him because it's so radically different to the world. See, what he's done here, he's redefined leadership. He's turned it completely upside down. And he goes on to say, the one that wants to be the greatest has to be the servant of all. Oh, there's so much that I have to slow down and take my time with him, because if we don't get this, then we miss so much. You see, in Luke, Jesus says this. This is the same upper room discourse that this comes from. The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. How do we serve? How do we serve each other? Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, housing the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting those who have no friends in whatever way is needed. In Matthew 25, so I'm going to have to drink some of this. In Matthew 25, Jesus says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, we may look at that and think, oh, it's a bit heavy, isn't it? Really heavy. What are you trying to say here, you may be thinking? Are you trying to say that this is what defines us, this is what separates us, this is what keeps us in or out of God's kingdom? I'm not saying anything at all. All I'm doing is reading what he has said. That is all we're doing. We're looking at what he has said. And in this description, this is Jesus talking. This is not somebody else's, this is not somebody else speaking. This is what he's saying. So, how are we serving? We serve in whatever way we can. We serve because he serves. He served us, so we serve. He wants us to serve. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He wants us to be this kind of people where we surrender, we sacrifice our own importance or our own preference for somebody else. We look at the need that someone may have, and if I have it in my power, I should meet that person in that need in whatever way I can. This is where we walk out a faith. This is where we allow the faith to change us. Where this is where we are changed and transformed from within. I now want to invite us all to take part in the meal. I'd like us to approach it and maybe look at it as this is an example to each one of us, how we should live. This is how we should view ourselves. We should be looking to take up a cross and follow him. So I'm going to pray. And then it is over to you guys. However you want to come forward, we will dip the bread in the wine as we have been doing, and there is gluten-free at the end. But just take a moment and reflect, and then when you're ready, come forward. Father, we really thank you that Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice. We thank you for the model that he is to us, and for the leader that he is, the fact that he allows us to follow him in our imperfect state. He is patient with us. You are patient with us, Lord, as we change. We thank you, Lord, that we're not there yet, but that we still have so far to go. Lord, help move us forward. Help us to die to ourselves and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.